with a low around 16. Northwest winds 9 to 15 miles an hour with gusts as high as 29 miles an hour. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 32. And Wednesday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 25.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Good afternoon and welcome to the award-winning radio show, Mental Health Matters. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and my co-host is Tracy Ivey. And this is NAMI's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and there is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers. We have no paid staff. We work out of our homes. And what we try to do is try to help people who have a mental health issue or someone in their family has a mental health issue. And we do it in various ways. We teach classes. One of them is called a family-to-family class for families or someone, if you know someone or work with someone or live next door to someone who has a mental health issue. And we talk about medications, side effects, what to do, what not to do, what to say, what not to say in certain circumstances. And we try to get the person taking the class to feel what it's like to be the person with the mental health issue. We also have what they call a basics course, which is for families whose children have some kind of mental health issue under the age of 18. And that's usually a six, no more than 7 week course. And every course that we teach and everything we do is totally free. There's never a charge. All the pamphlets and folders and information that we hand out in the classes are all free. We do have a monthly support group from 7 to 8:30 every third Thursday, I'll get it right, of the month at 52 East Main Street in Flemington. And you don't have to be a member of NAMI to participate in any of this. We'd like you to join, but you don't have to be. And if you have any questions or any would like some further information about what we're talking about, you can feel free to reach out to 908-284-0500. That's 908-284-0500. We don't man the phone 24/7, but we do have someone who checks it at least twice a day, and we promise we will get back to you as soon as possible. We are very privileged today to have with us three guests who are students from Hunterdon Central High School. Now, I know I'm going to murder Megan's name again anyway, even though I got it spelt here. Megan Maritis?
Matiris.
Well, I told you I'd murder it. I'm sorry. From now on, it's only going to be Megan. Elena Whalen?
Oh, it's Aliana.
Aliana. See, I can't even do it when I got it in front of me. I can get yours. Alex. I can do that, okay? Alex Davies. Okay. Well, thank you most for coming here and joining us. We're very privileged to have you. And I asked for a list of things that you'd like to talk about, and, you know, you sent me a list, and I hope we can get it all in 1 hour. And, you know, it's some of the issues that may arise when parents don't understand that their teen has a mental health condition. It's tough because a lot of times parents, they don't relate to that.
Yeah.
Okay? Baby's born, oh, it's going to be a doctor, yeah, a lawyer, or whatever, yeah, accountant. They don't see it as having either medical or mental problems.
Yeah.
And I know that from experience. You know, we have four kids. Our youngest son has mental health issues, yeah, and thank goodness, knock wood, he's doing very well right now, but it was a long 20 years. And, you know, right medications and wrong medications and that sort of thing. Yeah. Aside from the fact that he's has epilepsy,
yes,
and his epileptic medication would mess with the, mm-hmm, psychotic medication and all that happy stuff. And, you know,
yeah,
so it was a long haul.
Yes.
But the lack of education about mental health in high schools is horrendous, I think, personally.
Yes.
And so you have here that they only briefly discuss anxiety, depression, and eating disorders.
Yeah.
How do they briefly talk about that?
So I know the curriculum has drastically improved, at least with the freshmen coming in. But pretty much all that's really discussed in our health classes is, as you said, anxiety, depression, and eating disorders. So when you learn about anxiety, it's mainly about, you know, people who are scared all the time. They have anxiety. People who shake a lot, they have anxiety. With depression, it's people who are sad all the time. They have depression. You know, if you're happy ever, then you obviously don't have depression. And then with, I know, yeah. And then with eating disorders, it's not even we don't even really go in depth about the mental component of eating disorders. It's mainly there's anorexia and there's bulimia. One you don't eat, one you eat, and you throw up. Where obviously we know that it's much more complex than that,
right.
But it's drastically, drastically simplified in the curriculum that we have now.
Mm-hmm. You guys belong to a group called Strides Against Stigma?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to murder your name.
It's okay.
Aliana. Okay.
Yeah.
You want to talk about how that got started? And
That's fine. So basically, I don't know if I'm the person to talk about just because Megan did start it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll get back to Megan in a minute.
I can talk about my involvement in it. But Megan came because she's president of and one of the founders of Strides Against Stigma, and I'm the vice president. And she's came up pretty much out of this English class that she had to do. Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I don't want to So in my honors English 1 class, my teacher, Ms. Esposito, assigned us at the beginning of the year. It was something called the Fearless Challenge. So it was about overcoming fears. So she said, make a list of your fears and make a list of goals that you want to accomplish and combine the two into a goal that you can try to achieve at the end of the year. So my first thing on my fear list was my mental illness. I've struggled with anxiety, depression, self-harm, suicidal ideation since I was 10 years old. So that was my biggest fear. And basically what I really did was I went on the computer and I was like, you know, organizations that help with mental illness. And NAMI was the first one that came up. So I decided that my goal for the end of the year was to raise $1,000 for NAMI and get 10 people to join my walk team for a NAMI walk. In the end, I raised close to $3,000 and I got 30 people to join my walk team. And the project was so much more of a success than I could ever have imagined.
Right.
It went so well that I was like, there needs to be something like this in the schools. There needs to be a club or something. There was no education. Nobody was talking about it. And I was like, I bet there's people out there who could really use it. So we started working with some counselors at our school, Lynn Gonski, Alexandra Bucklew. We found an advisor, Mary Woods and Lori Freeman. And that's when I approached my friends, Aliana and Alex, to see about if they would be interested in helping me start the club. So if you want to.
Yeah. So I was a part of – I've been friends with Megan for a while, and I participated in her walk team. And for me, my involvement kind of stemmed from the fact that mental illness is very prevalent in my family, both my close family and my
extended family.
Yeah. So even though it's not something that I personally suffer with, it's affected me in so many ways in my life. And I also recognize the fact that education regarding mental illness in our school is very much lacking. And there's so much that really could be done in our school to help out. So I was like, okay, Megan, we got to get this done. And I helped. Well, I don't think I helped with kind of getting things started and stuff like that.
Right.
Or Alex, do you want to talk about anything?
I've been friends with Megan for a while also. Since the beginning of freshman year probably is when I started becoming friends with her. And although I didn't attend the first walk, the NAMI walk she did, I saw a lot of my other friends that attended that. And I really thought it was a cool idea. So I decided to go on the second walk. And from then on out, I decided to kind of stick with Megan with the Strides Against Stigma Club. The first year, I wasn't too involved in it. But then from then on out, I've taken position as a treasurer and advertising, kind of that stuff, and been really more involved with it, and I plan on sticking with it until the end of senior year, hopefully further on.
Well, that's awesome. It really is. Megan, you said you had, you know, gone through all this anxiety, depression, self-harming and stuff. How does your parents react to your doing this?
I'm extremely lucky. Like, when we go and talk in the clubs, in Strides Against Stigma Club, about parents' reception to mental illness, it's always like, oh, my parents don't think it's a real thing. They don't believe me. They think it's hormones. Yeah. I mean, I would not, to be honest, I would not be doing as good as I am now if it wasn't for my mother. When I was in fifth grade, it was recommended that I go to a therapist, I used to have panic attacks before I went in. I used to cry before I went in. And it was my mom who was like, it's hard now, Megan, but I promise you it's going to get better and you need to do this. I know it's hard, but it will get easier over time. She's been my biggest advocate since day one. I just couldn't do any. I wouldn't be able to function if she hadn't been advocating for me as a child. So,
It's true, because a lot of parents give it that get over it attitude, and that's because they're lacking education, or they don't want.
Or they confuse it with other things that go on.
Oh, you're just hormonal.
Oh, she's just being moody.
It's being a teenager. Well, I won't tell you some of the things I did as a teenager, but, by the same token, people say, what do you got to be depressed about?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's not like I asked for it, I didn't raise my hand and say, give it to me, they don't understand.
Yeah.
And, everybody, I don't care who it is, gets depressed at some point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Break up with their girlfriend or their boyfriend, or, lose their job, or, crack their car up or whatever. But it depends on how long that depression lasts.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, I had four kids, a mortgage, car payments, insurance, taxes, the whole nine yards. I lost my job because the company was sold and was bought out, and they brought their people in and we were shifted out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, here I am with all these kids and things. So, I got depressed for about a week. And then I said, Cartwright, you better get out there. You got bills to pay and kids to feed and what have you. And go look for another job. And I did. Mm-hmm. But, everybody gets anxious.
Yeah.
You're going to go on a job interview. What are you going to be? Oh, it's nothing. No, you're anxious. Because especially if you want the job, you're a little anxious and such. So that's not what anxiety is, And a lot of people, parents in particular, don't relate to that fact. I can't tell you how often I've seen it over the last 20 years I've been involved with NAMI. It's just, they'll give you that, like I said, get over it. Well, it's not like the person doesn't want to get over it.
No one wants to be in that position.
Right. Nobody wants to be in it. They love to get over it. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, it's not always works that way.
So let's talk about some of the things that the club is doing to try to, A, communicate with parents, B, get more awareness in the school among the faculty and curriculum and students.
So one of our big things that we just started doing this year is we have a bulletin board our school's pretty big. So we have a bulletin board, one of the big ones in our school. And what we do is every month we change it, and it addresses a different topic that intersects with mental health. So our first topic was about sexual harassment and mental health, how that can trigger things like PTSD and increase your risk for depression and suicide. We did a suicide prevention one for this month, and then so on and so forth.
Right.
Along with that, we've also been trying to put out commercials that would air during, which haven't aired yet, but we still plan to have them air, because we have a school radio station. So we get all of our school announcements on video through our a television station, and they play announcements, so that'll usually be commercials and stuff. But what we're trying to get into the school is a 2 or 3 minute informational piece on different topics that correspond to our posters and stuff in our display case. So a commercial on suicide prevention or a commercial on sexual assault and mental illness and stuff like that.
Do you know that the second leading cause of death in colleges is suicide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's scary.
It's crazy.
You know, and how many of the average person out there, you know, realize that?
Knows that.
You know, it's scary. Yeah. I know that we were approached, well, I was approached a couple weeks ago by a nurse at Voorhees. Mm-hmm. And they want to have a mental health fair.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah.
And they wanted us and behavioral health and a few others to have tables there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I talked to her and I said, of course, yes, definitely. And what they're going to do is the, what do they call them, health class, I think they call them now. They're going to come by and, you know, that's part of their going to thing. And before they go to lunch, they're going to walk the students by, you know. So it's getting the word out. Yeah. And I think that if more schools did that.
Yes.
And not only high schools, grammar schools.
Yeah, you know, that's where it should start. Yeah.
Exactly. That's where it should start, you know. Yeah. And, but, you know.
Yeah.
It's.
No, you're talking about stigma, really.
Yes.
Yes,
we've definitely faced that.
How hard is it to overcome stigma?
Even, I would say even in getting stuff approved in, like trying just to get the word out there and getting the school to, even the school to understand our, like our topic and our point that we're trying to get across, you face stigma even then. Alex, did you want to say?
No.
Okay.
Or, and then I feel like even when we do get things approved and we are able to do things, a lot of people may not be receptive to them because they just don't understand the importance of them, whether it be like signing up to join our club or people now after recent events that happened are like, oh, well, why isn't there a club that like addresses mental health issues? And it's frustrating on our end because we've been here for a year and a half. It's just that we do both like lack of interest between the student body and not being like promoted through the administration. It's been really tough for us to like make an impact on anybody.
Yeah.
Don't you feel, and Alex, you can answer this too if you want. I'm only Boston man. But don't you feel that there's a lot of pressure on students?
Very much so.
I mean, not only
students
that have mental health issues, but all students by parents.
Yeah.
You know, oh, you got to be on, you know, the honor society. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to be, you know, the best soccer player or basketball player. Mm-hmm. And so you can get a scholarship, you know, to MIT.
Yes.
Well, it's so much different now than, I won't tell you how many hundreds of years ago I went to school, but the women or girls graduated and they either went to secretarial classes or they went to college. Very few went and got a job right away.
Yeah.
You know, it was always one or the other. The guys either went to college or they went in the service.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, that's what you did. You went to college or you went in the service. Half of them went in the service, like me, and the other half went to college. And, you know, it just, it's so different now because even the schools are putting the pressure on.
Yeah. Everything feels like a competition, honestly. Yeah. And it's really frustrating when you do want to genuinely make an impact in something, and then there are people around you who are just like part of a club because they know it'll be good on their college apps.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
Stuff like that.
Right. Yes. Oh, they're on the debate team or they're this team or that team, you know, whatever. But it's so, they're not looking at the individual.
Yes.
You know, they're looking at, oh, this is what you have to be.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine if the person wants to do that.
Yes.
But I would venture to say that most of the people that's under this pressure don't want to do it.
Yes.
You know? And, you know, so now what do they do?
Yeah.
Now they're under the school's pressuring, the parents are pressuring them, you know? And I think a lot of times you have problems escalate because of that.
Things are definitely exasperated by that kind of stuff.
Exactly. You know, and sometimes people can't handle it and then take their lives.
Yeah.
You know,
something that struck me once, I did a NAMI advocacy training class for the club that I'm taking back to my club with my two friends, April and Ariel. And when we were talking, you had to like tell your story. And Ariel was saying, you know, I don't have a personal story. Like, what do I write about? And what she ended up writing about was the amount of panic attacks you witness in the halls, amount of casual suicidal comments you hear in the hallways, how nobody's eating during lunch because they're so stressed out about their next class or their next test. Nobody's sleeping because they have to do homework. And so one of the big things when I heard that, I was like, how did I never see this before? And I kind of realized, like, the way that the not just our school, but schools in general, the school system is structured, it's structured against people with mental illness conditions,
right,
or even just somebody who's prone to stress or prone to being sad. So,
And then seeing this kind of stuff in the hallways, you're normalized to it. So, like, as Megan said, she didn't even realize that it was going on.
Right.
Because it's like, oh, everybody is stressed. Nobody sleeps. It's almost...
Yes. And it becomes a norm when it shouldn't be.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah.
So how can the teachers learn more? Or do the counselors, they're the ones who have to deal with the, when I say counselors, who deals with kids who are really having mental health issues in the school?
And so I know that two of our advisors actually are counselors from the hospital. They come in from the hospital, and they deal with more of the severe cases of mental illness and the
general
guidance
counselor. I know who you're talking about.
Counselor.
I know them.
Yeah. So, and that's pretty much what I was going to say. You're good.
But, you know, but yeah, they come in and they talk to them, but it's still...
It's not enough.
I remember recently we had a college presentation, and at the end of it, because we were presented with all of this like really stressful information, because we're all juniors, I should preface that. And they presented us with all this like really stressful information and things that we need to get done. And at the end, they're like, okay, everybody, take a deep breath. Everything's going to be okay. It's all good. And it kind of like clicked to me that in school, we're taught a lot of different like coping mechanisms for stress.
Right.
But the way that I equate it is like, when somebody breaks their leg, they get like some kind of crutch or something that helps them with their problem, but it doesn't it doesn't heal their leg.
Right.
So it kind of feels like in school we're presented with like, okay, you can take a deep breath, you can do this and that, but at the end of the day, if you have anxiety, if you have depression, if you have these issues, it's not going to solve them, and the system is still put against you.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of times people can't do things because of the mental health status that they're in. I know a woman called me up and she says, my daughter won't get out of bed. She won't leave the room. And she was like 20 some odd years old.
She can't.
You know, and I says, okay. She says, I keep pounding on the door and wanting her to get out, and she won't come out. Mm-hmm. And I said to her, why don't you do yourself a favor and just back off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And leave her alone. If she wants to come out, she'll come out. If she wants to get up, she'll get up. I says, let me ask you something. I said, what do you want her to do if she gets up? Mm-hmm. Well, take a shower and go down and get breakfast and walk the dog.
Yeah.
I said, okay. I says, why? Back off. A couple days later, she called me up. She said, my daughter got out of bed.
Yeah.
I said, really? What did she do? She took a shower. She came down for breakfast. And she's out now walking the dog. I says, you know, did you ever stop and think that maybe your daughter couldn't get up?
Mm-hmm.
Not that she didn't want to get up, but she couldn't get up because she was mentally like a weight on her, holding her back. And I says, you know, you've got to understand some of this, you know, and it's not the same for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's case is different. Yeah. You know, my son... paranoid schizophrenic.
Mm-hmm.
He attempted suicide twice.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't tell you the last time. I was years ago, 20 years ago, and his oil-based paint was the only thing you had. And I went over Christmas and was going to paint.
Yeah.
And I bought a 2-gallon can of turpentine, and they drank it. And you know, I don't know if you ever smelled turpentine.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine what it tastes like. But the doctors were amazed that it didn't burn his whole insides out.
Yeah.
But it wound up 28 days in Princeton, Carrier, and my insurance ran out. They transferred him to Trenton Psych. He was there for almost 20 months.
Wow.
They transferred him to Hagedorn. He was there for another 11 months.
Mm-hmm.
So his late teenage years, he didn't have.
Yeah.
You know, and when he got out, he was in and out of the hospital more times than I care to remember.
Yeah.
But now he's has his own apartment for the last 7 years, has a job. April will be 3 years.
That's good.
He volunteers at the hospital a day a week and takes his meds religiously, I think, because he's been taking them since he's five with his epilepsy. You know, so that had something to do with it. But so he's, they consider him a success story.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's fine today. Yeah.
But
God knows what will be tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You don't know. But you enjoy the good days.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, bad ones can come, you know.
Yes.
But it's sad, you know.
It is sad.
You know, because
I think
they don't want... I'm sorry?
No, I was going to say, I think sometimes people equate lack of ability with, you know, lack of trying or wanting to do something.
Right.
Like they don't have the capability to do it. It's not that they don't want to do it.
Right.
And people don't understand because... Another thing that's not really stressed in the school system is empathy and trying to empathize with other humans, whether it be mental illness or being a minority or just somebody who's in a different spot than you are. And that if at least empathy was taught in some capacity,
it'd be much better
off. It could be applied to everything.
Sure, absolutely.
Yes.
You know, and I know there's a thing we have here that says... not being able to speak openly about mental health in school because the school fears that they will get complaints from parents.
Yes.
Tough.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, really?
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry, but that, if that's the, you know, the a large reason for it, then somebody ought to talk to them because they're, you know, they're on a different page altogether than the rest of the world, you know?
So, so in our school, at least, a lot of the precautions that are put in place are because, like, parents are very intense around here.
Mm-hmm. Which, tell me about it.
Yeah, I'm sure you know, yeah. And because of that, they want as little pushback from parents as possible. So they keep it as clean and as, like, safe and, like, I don't know.
It's PG-rated as a
kid. Yeah.
So there's sort of a sense of denial, really,
really is.
Yeah.
Something that was just put in place today, which is a little controversial... according to the due to the events that happened at our school, we recently had somebody take their life in our school. She did it in the bathroom, and so now there's this policy where we all have a little identification card.
Right.
You have to swipe in and out of the bathroom using your ID card. It's not addressing the core issue.
No.
The core issue is that there wasn't resources. There might have been resources, but there weren't readily available resources for her. People didn't understand there was mental health issues. People who saw warning signs felt like, oh, no, I got to give her space. I'm not going to, like, go tell someone about it. It wasn't the bathroom that was the issue.
Right.
It was the unaddressed mental health issue that was the problem. If you want to explain.
No, I think it's frustrating because, again, the preventative things that do happen at Central happen out of us, like, they're not wanting to be liability issues or stuff like that. And it's not, nobody's addressed to us, like, mental health issues after such, like, a mental health heavy, like, event has happened at our school. And I think that's something that shows, like, there's something innately wrong with the system that we're in. And it's, again, really frustrating from our point of view because we have the resources, we are able to talk out and, like, speak, but we can't.
Right.
Well, are there counselors who are available for kids who are having issues on a regular basis?
Yes, but I know they're not a lot, right?
There is a decent – every grade level in our school has a set of counselors. So there are counselors that are available.
But they're different. They have a couple therapists,
There's a couple actual therapists there as well.
But I know that – ever since this event has happened and people have been really triggered by it, I know it takes a very long time to seek help and, like, get help, especially because when you think about it, we're a school of 3,000 people. So although it's great to have a team of counselors and a couple therapists, like, it would make sense at this point to have probably more support, I think.
And you understand where the school is coming from. They don't want to have liability issues and when such a horrible tragedy takes place. But as I was speaking to the woman who runs Safe Harbor, she told me, her name's Carol DeVore, and she said, there comes a time where you have to put the red tape aside and be a human.
Right.
And that's what we're missing right now. That when such a horrible event takes place, there's no procedure for this kind of thing. You just, it comes down to empathy and being a human.
Right.
And
so there's a lot of things that can be done, yes. Obviously. So do you have a goal for maybe the first thing you want to get done, accomplish?
So one of the big projects that we're working on right now is actually in partnership with 109 of NAMI and Safe Harbor. We're working to put on a mental health awareness event in honor of Allie and all other people struggling with mental illness who have gotten help, who have not gotten help, or in the process of getting help. We just really want to make people aware, to have like a community gathering where we can visually demonstrate in our community that we have people who care and who believe you and who want to see you do better. That's the main goal of the event that we're planning. Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, too, that it's a proven fact. Mm-hmm. They've done very many, many studies, and it's a proven fact that 1 in 5 people have a mental health issue.
Yes.
Now, you figure out that's not just in high school.
600 people at your school.
That's a lot. Right. Yeah.
Right. And you stop and think about it. That's worldwide.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I know when we give a presentation monthly at Educational Services, mm-hmm. and we have this PowerPoint thing that the girl I do it with does, because yeah. that's above my pay grade. But anyway, one of the things we do is one of the myths mm-hmm. about suicide is if you suspect someone of contemplating suicide, mm-hmm. don't address it.
Yeah.
Well, completely the opposite. Yes. You do address it.
Yeah.
You know, you can do it diplomatically. You don't have to say, you're thinking about killing yourself? No, yeah. but, you know, yeah. but, you know, gee, you know, Megan, you seem to be, like, contemplating, you know, yeah. hurting yourself or something. Is that, you know, possible or, yeah. you know, something to that effect?
Yeah.
And a lot of times, which is also a proven fact, a lot of times that people are just so happy someone's talking to them about it mm-hmm. that they will talk about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, rather than complete the act,
yeah.
you
yeah.
know? And it's just unbelievable because yeah. besides for the stigma
yeah.
and ignorance of a lot of the people,
mm-hmm.
and I don't want to sound crucial but critical, yes. but some no, people are totally
fair.
Ignorant.
Yes, I think that's no, fair. Fair. You know. People are not educated.
Yeah. Right.
They're and not.
They don't want to be.
No, mm-hmm. some don't.
You know, and it's just amazing to me, you know.
Yeah.
I used to work part-time after I retired. I worked one day a week at the hospital
yes.
in emergency services, mm-hmm. and I used to go into their what they call too central is their lock-up board.
Yeah.
And I would talk to the clients there, the mm-hmm. patients. And one day this young man come up to me and he says, can I talk to you after?
Mm-hmm.
I said, sure. So he and I were talking and it was summer and he had a long sleeve shirt on like I
yeah.
do.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, can I show you something?
Oh,
yeah.
No.
And he pulled up the sleeves on his shirt.
Yeah.
From his shoulder all the way down to his wrist, there wasn't a piece of skin that wasn't cut.
Yeah.
On both arms. And I was in.
Yeah.
I lost, you know. Yeah. For me not to have something to say, it's yeah. very rare. And I was like
yeah.
spellbound. I just couldn't get the words out.
Yes.
I was shocked.
Yeah.
And then finally we were talking and talking, and I recommended him
yeah.
when he got out, because he was getting out shortly, to see somebody and, you know, because he wasn't
get
from
help.
This area. He was from, you know, mm-hmm. Warren, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's just so sad.
It's so sad.
You know, and, you know, a lot of times he was one of them who said, to get rid of the pain in my head,
you do
it's
in
easier
your
to
body.
Do the pain on my body than to
yes.
deal with the pain mm-hmm. in my head. And I can understand that.
Yeah.
I don't agree with it, but I can
yeah,
understand it, you know.
Yeah.
But it's just so sad. You
it
know,
really
and
is.
You know, I don't know. It just we have to. Maybe the radio show will help.
Yeah.
getting out and doing it explaining it to people what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Seriously, what you guys are doing is very helpful.
Thank you so much.
Because you've got a billboard up or whatever, and it is. You're getting the word out. Whether people want to accept it or not, it's out there.
Mm-hmm. And that's the main goal.
That's the point.
That's the point. Yeah. Even if you just to get them to talk.
That's one step
further. One of these days, we'll get Alex to talk. Only teasing Alex. Don't sweat it. He's absorbing everything.
Yeah, yes. You and me both. We're not
saying. You're both absorbing it. Now, do you feel that minorities have issues besides just being minorities?
Yeah, of course. So, one of the big topics that we talk about in our club is we talk a lot about intersectionality. Mm-hmm. So how one part of your identity can intersect over another. So one of the things that we were talking about is how a lot of minority groups have higher rates of mental illness. Being part of the LGBTQ community, being a racial minority, even depending on the gender you identify with, can influence how you express your mental illness. For example, women are more likely to take out their mental illness on themselves, mm-hmm. And men have a higher rate of suicide than women.
They do.
Yeah. So it depends. One of the things that the reason I really try to focus on this in my club is when I came out as gay, both my therapist and my parents were like, wow, she's like 10 pounds heavier. Like her legs stopped shaking. She's not anxious anymore. Like what happened? And that's when I started really doing research and I realized like these communities that are already marginalized have such higher rates of mental illness than the general population. And bad enough that we don't deal with like the general population's mental illness, you add on these extra layers and it becomes, you could see how it would become overbearing.
Sure.
I know, especially as far as racial minorities go, we've had a couple conversations within our club about how usually a lot of the ideology, a lot of immigrant families is that mental illness isn't real. Mm-hmm. Which is really frustrating. And it's just an old way of thinking.
Yeah.
But because of that, it's even harder to get rid of that stigma and to educate people because they're coming from this old age mentality. Mm-hmm. I can't personally speak on that, but it has been talked about pretty extensively within our club from people who are people of color, depending from where they're from.
And it's not only racial. Mm-hmm. Years ago, every family had an Aunt Sarah or Uncle Willie who they had up in a cabin somewhere in the middle of nowhere and nobody ever saw them, because they were suffering from mental health issues. Mm-hmm. And rather than have them in the family and get them help or anything, because at the time there wasn't much help around, and the family wasn't going to admit that someone in their family had a mental health issue. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's off to the mountains, and it's a shame. But unfortunately, that's the way it was.
Yeah.
We've improved.
Yeah, we have.
Not as much as everybody would like to see, or at least we'd like to see. Yes. But,
another thing that a lot of the people of color in our club talk about, they talk about the way that religion plays a big factor in their life and how if there's problems, you just got to pray to God and the problems will go away. When obviously we're educated enough to know, if that helps you, go ahead and pray to God. But there are chemical imbalances in the brain that are also at work and need to be addressed.
Right. So. And not everything works for everyone.
Every person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Because everybody's different.
Mm-hmm.
Alex may take aspirin and I can't.
Yeah.
Or vice versa because our bodies are different.
Yeah.
And we metabolize them differently.
Mm-hmm.
I know a young lady who's mid-30s who was in California, actually, Latino, and she has severe depression and anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And I had her on the radio
by
telephone. I wanted to come, but she didn't want. I didn't want to pay for the air ticket, so we did it by phone. But she was saying, and I asked her, I says, well, what do you do, for it? What? She says, well, she runs. She does a lot, you know, runs a lot, right?
Yeah. That's,
and then does a lot of holistic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I says, well, is it working? She says, yeah, it works great.
Yeah.
I says, well, she says, you're not going to tell me this. I says, first of all, I'm not a doctor.
Yeah.
Okay? Second of all, if it's working,
do it.
Keep doing it.
Right?
Yeah.
Keep working at it. You know? I mean, all I'm going to say is that maybe someday down the road, you may have to add a pill to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But right now, if it's working,
do it.
Yeah. You know? And the last time I spoke to her, which was about 6 weeks ago, it's still working.
Yeah.
So we've been talking about, you know, over a couple of years now, and it, you know, and she's married, and, you know, mm-hmm. And she speaks to NAMI and all over California,
mm-hmm.
and she has been before the state Senate.
Wow.
That's really cool.
Right. Yeah.
Awesome.
So, you know, there's people out there who are helping the issue, you know, getting it out and getting it on, but it's just not enough yet.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not.
And, you know, when you see the stigma that is attached and, you know, to it, it's just mind-boggling.
It is.
You know, it really is.
So why don't we talk about a little bit about this event you're planning in May? What do you hope to accomplish? You're talking about educating people. What are some things you might like to do? And will it be on a school day or a Saturday? What do you think?
Okay, so we're planning to do it. I believe we're planning to do it on the weekend so we can get as many people out as we can. Safe Harbor is amazing. They're going to try to, you know, take over Main Street, get stuff donated. We did our first fundraiser for the event. We did like a raffle thing and we made about like $300. And the woman in charge of Safe Harbor is now going around and trying to get people to match the donation. We're going to have songs performed. We're also inviting the U Rock Foundation in. So the U Rock Foundation works mainly focused on depression, but mental health awareness in general through the use of the arts. So writing, music, you know, drawing. And in addition, just as a little plug, Safe Harbor and U Rock are running a program 6:30 Monday nights where we are working on planning this event. If anyone from the community is interested in also helping, you're more than welcome to come.
So, where is it held at?
It's going to be in the Safe Harbor building. So it's right on Main Street in the second floor of the lawyer's building at the end. So
yeah, that's good. You pretty much covered everything. It's definitely still in the works, but essentially we just want to raise awareness and let the community know that if there's anybody suffering with these issues, like, you're not alone. There are ways that you can deal with this. You have resources, you have support. And just honoring those who are going through these kinds of issues and have gone through these kinds of issues.
Our original, just popped to my head, sorry. Our original idea for it was to call it Light the Night. And
Light the Night.
And so when Carol actually met with Allie's family, and what Allie's mother said to her was, just going back to that, because that's what kind of stemmed this specific event. You know, Allie saw the light, but she could never hold on to it. So we decided to make that saying what, like, our main focus of the event. So it's going to be now, hold on to the light. That's what our event is going to be called and focused on doing, showing people that there is a way to see hope and hold on to it and get better and get help.
With candles?
Yeah, we're thinking
glow sticks, candles is what we're thinking.
Glow sticks, that's just, you know, something to think about, you know, because you're holding the light.
And
you're holding
it's
the light.
Really holding the light.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Thank you.
You know? What is, I know we touched on it briefly, but the unique stigma that comes from being a teen with mental illness?
Alex,
do you want to talk or? No?
No. Okay.
Alex doesn't want to talk. Alex is shaking his head. No.
It's okay.
He's here for moral support.
You talked about it before. That's why I was going to. Yeah, I'll start. We covered it, but I think a little bit earlier on. But
well, we did. I just, you know.
Yes, yeah. A lot of times as a teenager, you usually, if you're having, like, if you're really upset or you're anxious about something, it's not necessarily treated as something that might be a mental health issue. It's just, oh, you're hormonal, or oh, you're moody, you're angsty, you're a teenager, yeah. And obviously,
or hormones, you're a girl, you know,
yeah, exactly, yeah,
are you right. On your period,
right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
and
yeah.
Obviously, there are people who have mood swings and stuff like that. But it's a very simplistic way to look at people and not addressing what might be a more, like, complex and, like, pertinent issue.
Mm-hmm. When we discuss it in the club, we kind of, so I don't know if this is, like, correct, but we kind of look at being a teen as another kind of minority group. So not to equate our struggles with any of the minority groups, but that there's, what we mean by that is there's special circumstances that come with being a teen who, yeah, is mentally ill. So you have not only the barrier of stigma, now you're at a disadvantage because you're younger, you're not, well, we address like teens as under 18, you're not technically, mm-hmm, like an adult yet. So now you have to fight the stigma of the adults around you. Mm-hmm. You have to fight the stigma of the of your parents that you might come across. You also have to balance school. School's not an optional thing. So there's not a lot of choice you have when you're a, right, teen. So it limits the ways in which you can get help if you're not supported by the system or the adults around you. So we discuss stuff like that a lot in our clubs.
Yeah. And high school is a time when there's a lot of teasing and, mm-hmm, cliques, and it's, yeah, very hard anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say that's probably more prevalent in middle schools nowadays. Okay. This is just based off of my own experiences. In high school, people are much more, you know, like, I'll hang with the people that I like and you can do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But there's still a lot of social pressure to fit in,
yeah, mm-hmm,
and, you know, be with, like, the cool kids and stuff like that, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That hasn't changed much over the years.
Except he says it's starting,
yeah,
younger.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It starts younger. Yeah. It's a whole other issue.
Yeah, right, yeah, right. But, you know, it's just, it's sad when you think about it, you know?
It really is.
It's very sad. Is there a lot of bullying that goes on in high school, or?
It's hard to generalize because we're such a big school.
Yeah.
It's hard to see, honestly.
Yeah.
I'm sure it exists. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say that there isn't bullying at, yeah, our school, because there's no way there's not. But it's just, there's so many people that it's hard to really get, like, a number of, like, how prevalent it is within, yeah, our school.
I think maybe cyberbullying is.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that, yeah, a lot of the bullying has now shifted to being online,
right,
similar, yeah, to, you know, we were talking about how sexual harassment plays, right, into mental health. A lot of sexual harassment has translated to now everything's online.
Yeah.
Right. And the school system is not equipped for it. But then again, how could they be? It's such a new, like, issue that it's now translating to online that it's, yeah, it's a tough spot because it's not like how it used to be. It's not so direct.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's, you know, like one of the kids who, I think it was in Arizona or someplace out there not too long ago, shot in the school,
yeah,
and it was,
yeah,
because he was bullied.
Yeah.
You know, and that was his way of getting back. You,
yeah,
know?
It's, even though it's not direct, it's real. It really,
yeah,
really hurts people.
Right.
Yeah.
Nobody else might see what they're seeing online, but if they're being bullied online.
Yeah,
mm-hmm,
and then that translates into mental health. You have mental health,
sure,
issues, because whether it comes from online or in person, it's the same.
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah,
right. Yeah, it's, you know, and a lot of times, you know, I hate to be like this, but a lot of times the quote-unquote jocks, you know, do their thing,
yeah,
you know, and if you aren't one of them,
mm-hmm,
you know,
yeah,
it's a shame,
yeah,
but
yeah,
it's, that hasn't changed.
It has.
No, I agree with that.
You know, it hasn't, because we went to two reunions of we had a 500 kids graduate, and, you know, we,
yeah,
were in a big school also,
mm-hmm,
in Teaneck, in Bergen County,
mm-hmm,
and we went to our, I don't know, 50th reunion, and a guy comes up to me and he says, "You're Larry Cartwright, right?"
Yeah.
And I says, "Yeah." I don't know this guy, right? He says, I'll never forget you. I says, okay, what did I do wrong? You know, I thought he was, you know. He says, three football players were going to stuff me in a locker.
Whoa.
And you stood up to them and told them, why don't you try to stuff me in a locker? Because if you even raise a hand to me, you said to them, you break every bone in their body. And I said, really? He says, yeah. He says, and they never, ever touched me again. Wow. He says, and I've never forgotten you. He says, I just, you know.
It's amazing.
I says, wow. Because I didn't remember it, you know. Wow. But, you know.
That's evidently, compassion.
Yeah. Evidently he did, you know. And, you know, but it hasn't changed. That's the sad part, you know. Mm-hmm. And I feel bad, you know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people get bullied because of who they're not or who they should be and they're not, you know, who they hang around with instead of who they should hang around with, you know, according to their thoughts, you know. But it's just, you know, really sad, you know. Is there anything in the last 2 minutes or so that we haven't talked about that you'd like to bring up?
Just that, I guess, to end on a positive note.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes, yeah.
There is a lot of hope out there. Like, just comparing, not to offend anyone, but just comparing two generations, there's a lot of change coming in our generation.
We've come very far.
We've come
in a very short period of time.
Yeah, there's still a long way to go. But I do believe that once our generation, you know, becomes like the adults of the country and stuff like that, mental health stigma will be drastically increased. I do believe that. Just even though there is stigma, there is like people you know of that have mental illnesses and will be like, you know, I'm just having a really hard time today with my anxiety. I had a panic attack last night or something along those lines. So I do think even though there's a long way to go, there has been gigantic changes, huge changes that probably, not that I can speak from experience, but probably weren't even imaginable, you know, before. So.
You're right, they weren't. I can speak from those experiences, you know, unfortunately. But, it's just, I don't know, you know, you were saying about, you know, kids and so on and so forth. When I graduated high school, I spent most of my senior year as 16. Graduated when I was 17, and it was a choice. You either went to college or went to service. So went to service, and I had been in for 3 years, and I had another about a year and a half to go, and I could only get leave in January to get married.
Yeah,
and I came home, and I had to go down to the township to get papers signed, and they told me, "Oh, Mr. Cartwright, you have to get an adult sign this paper."
Yeah.
I says, "What?" I spent 3 years already in the military. I just come back from Vietnam, and you're telling me I got to get an adult to sign for this? Well, yeah, you're not 21.
Yeah.
I says, I'll be 21 in 3 weeks. What difference does it make? You know, I can't stay that long. My leave is up, you know? Oh, no, you have to get it. You know, my mother had a sign for me.
Yeah.
Now, a person can go in the military at 17. Get killed in a line of duty, but has to have his mother sign for him to get married. I say to my wife, what did you pay my mother to sign those papers? Oh, you had to pay her something. She didn't just do this. You know, you had to pay her. What was it? You know? But, and it was like, you know, we got married on the 16th of January, and I was my birthday's the 9th of February. But by the 9th of February, I had to be back at the base, you know? So it was just, you know, kind of crazy, you know, when you say, you know, things happen, you know, it does. It's just weird, you know?
Yeah.
But, and it doesn't matter because, you know, 65, 70-year-old people can come down with mental health issues.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't discriminate.
No,
it doesn't, you know?
I have a quick question.
Go ahead.
I want to ask them before we close. Do you have a website or is there any place people could go to find out more about your group or?
So we don't have a website. We do have an Instagram anyone is interested in following that. I think it's called HC Strides Against Stigma.
I can look that up just to make sure. Yeah, I'll fact check you.
Yeah, she'll fact check me. And then just in the school, I believe there's on the 100 Central webpage, there's a list of clubs, and like our club is listed there, so it gives a short blurb about like what we're doing.
Right, right.
And then we also have some of our resources at Safe Harbor. There's little informational pamphlets about our club and what we've done and what we hope to do. So if you want to say the Instagram name.
It is HC Strides Against Stigma. There's just a underscore in between each word. So okay. HC underscore strides underscore against underscore stigma.
Okay. Well, we can't thank you enough for being here,
thank you for having us. This is so fun.
You know, and we will have you back. Yeah, see, it wasn't so bad talking into the microphone.
It was good.
We'll be back again next week, folks. Same time, same station. And remember, mental health really does matter. See you next week.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental. NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees.